T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'd like to thank our guests today, Mike Florio and Len Casper. The former talked football, the latter talked baseball. We got to some serious stuff. We got to some not so serious stuff. We had, who was it on the updates today?
Mark Grody.
The updates today.
I heard him at 10:30.
I saw him. I never remember. Brian Gertsch had the video feed. The producers today were Shane Reardon and Eli Hershkovich, and these are the familiar countenances of Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins. Gentlemen, how
well, thank you. It's good to be familiar.
Yes, it's good to have a countenance as well.
Good fourth?
Yeah, pretty good. Most of my fourth was on the third. Parkins beat me on the golf course on Tuesday, and I did fireworks Tuesday night with some buddies, so most of my work was done on the third.
And you can do them legally because you're in Indiana.
Because we're hillbillies. Right. That's right.
Good for you.
Yeah.
If you spent all that money on fireworks and then got it rained out, though, I kind of laugh at that. It's kind of funny, right? Like, I just enjoy getting the free show, like living downtown and being able to see a bunch of
just
them.
Just look
from
anywhere.
That never ends.
Yeah. No, it never ends.
All night.
And there's a parking lot kind of like catty corner from the building that we live in, and you can just see the kids launching fireworks off. But and so like you're like laying on the deck or even on the couch inside and just out the window, and it looks like it's a personal fireworks show. Like I'm on the fifth floor, it's exploding exactly at the height of my building. The dog freaks out. I'm like, man, why go to Grant Park?
That's one of the things I realized living in the city is that you don't go to fireworks like you do in the suburbs.
Correct.
The fireworks come to
they
you.
They come to
that's
you.
Right.
Yeah, that's very convenient that way. I need some clarity on your rhinoceros lion story.
Yes.
What happened?
Go ahead and tell Parksy what happened in this.
At a game preserve in South Africa, apparently some rhino poachers who had successfully poached rhinos there before came back to try to do it again with they brought in their guns, their axes, and food for days, and they were eaten by a pride of lions.
Oh. And afterward, the lions were put down.
No.
They weren't put down.
They were temporarily tranquilized.
They were given an attaboy.
The lion went lion. They were temporarily tranquilized to allow them to collect body parts and weapons and the unused food.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of thought that they had to be put down for that. And that's a good thing, because Connor expressed some sadness over the idea. Why bother?
What are we doing?
Look, you're out there shooting things illegally.
We got to come back in for your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They did their job. They unwittingly protected their cousins or friends, the rhinos.
The cousins.
Yeah, whatever they want to call
them. The rhinos of the feline family.
The rhino cousins are being hunted again.
Giant rhino cats.
Those hunters got what they deserved.
Hey.
Not even hunters. Poachers.
Poachers.
It wasn't even legal.
They're playing a road game.
I feel the same way about, remember the bear whisperer? Remember the grizzly man? And grizzly man could intuit the grizzlies, and he became one of them until he became one of them.
Yep.
Until they decided,
lunch.
You look pretty good. And the pictures. I do not look at the pictures. I wish somebody would have warned me before I looked at the pictures.
Oh, really?
Of Grizzly Man?
Of what was left of Grizzly Man.
Ooh.
Of stripped to the skeleton Grizzly
so
Man.
So I should not click this.
I would. I really would have.
I had not heard of Grizzly Man.
I didn't really think it would be as profoundly troubling as what they really. It really.
Okay,
not.
Well then
it's
I don't
not
want
just
to click
bones.
There's. No, there's some meat left.
You don't want to eat the organs.
All I know is
true.
All I know is my mother would have said something to them.
That's not a clean plate.
Her thing was chicken wings. That she, being from Buffalo and having the whole thing, like when she would make, before Buffalo Joe's opened, you couldn't get buffalo wings everywhere in the world, and she would sort of make a simulacrum of them. And if you didn't know how to properly clean a wing, I'm haunted to this day. when I order wings in a bar, I was like, gotta get
it. Hunted by watching you eat.
I know. Everybody makes fun of me because a Batacola used to say, I don't watch Bernstein eat wings because it's the humanity of it. But I feel compelled to get
every
piece.
Every bit of anything edible has to be off the wing or I would be chastised.
He eats
for being
wings
wasteful.
Like a cartoon character.
I appreciate the that. Whole thing goes if you're going to kill an animal for its flesh, eat it all. Don't leave it in the scrapyard, Parksy. Eat it.
Yeah, I'm that way. I'm that way with panfish too, where some people like to fillet panfish, and I prefer you scale them, you cut the head off, you gut them, and then bread and fry. You eat the fins, the tail, that crisped up tail.
Bluegill colon tartare. There's nothing better, is there?
Hey, I'll get me a well cleaned panfish. You strip it right off the bone like Sylvester the cat.
That's very graphic. I like that. Very vivid. How was your fourth? Everything good with you?
Yes, I did something I really hadn't done before. I was telling him the being on a boat to be on a boat. The harbor thing.
Okay.
The Lake Michigan harbor thing. We have friends who are kind enough to, they have a lovely boat, and it was just the four of us, and they invited us over. We did a little cruise for about, I don't know, 40 minutes or so, just around seeing things, and then we just sort of sat in the harbor and
that's okay.
Drank cold things, and he cooked some fabulous marinated shrimp on a little grill on the dock. I did a little fishing. 100% legal, but I did that anyway. They knew the individual ducks that came by.
There's Barry.
No, they said that's like, they said that's mangy duck. I said, what do you mean? Like, there's something wrong
mangy
with
duck.
Yeah, mangy duck is a mallard that had his head feathers that were a little weird. They didn't know what was wrong. And they're like, oh, it's Loud Duck. I'm like, how do you know him? Like, it's Loud Duck.
Duck.
I said, why do you call him Loud Duck? I'm like, watch.
He's quiet.
Wah, 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 wah. Nonstop.
Chatty.
The other ducks kind of look at him and he just sort of talks and then he leaves. He's there all the time. It's Loud Duck.
You weren't harvesting rock bass, were you? Illegally? Because you should have been eaten by a lion, too.
I was not harvesting.
Okay.
I was not harvesting. But it says no fishing within 100 feet of any dock.
Okay.
And you were on the dock.
And had somebody said, usually if there's a boat owner there, and had they say, hey, don't fish so close to my boat, I would say, I'm sorry, I didn't see the sign. But you look under a boat, and you see these shadows under there, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna chase those.
Yeah, that's where they're at. Dude.
Yeah,
gotta
yeah.
Go get
sure, of course.
Yeah, when it's hot, you know how to sort of avert your eyes to see just the right way, and gotta chase them.
I kind of like the hang on the boat.
It's new for me.
You're just floating around, drinking. Not a lot of traffic.
I'm bad at hanging.
How are you bad at hanging?
I'm bad at it.
It's all I do.
Relax easily.
I'm bad at it. I don't. I get fidgety and twitchy and nervous and worried.
Worried.
I love hanging.
Does that help? Hanger. Anything ever?
No.
It's the best thing I'm at. Like I'm probably not better at anything than I am at
shifting
hanging.
Shifting into neutral. I love doing that.
No, can't.
Couch or recliner. Biggest decision I make when I'm hanging.
Like sometimes
I'm
both.
I'm bad at sitting
sure.
down,
sometimes both.
Let alone hanging. I rarely sit.
Do you lay?
When I sleep.
It's the only time you lay?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well,
you got to increase that.
No!
I mean, no, I don't. I don't. I'm pretty much the only time I'm lying down is if I'm intending to sleep.
Hmm.
I can't say the same thing.
I spend afternoons doing that.
Yes. No, I'd probably fall asleep if I did that. But
yeah,
no.
Sometimes that too.
No, it's just, and even when I'm doing crossword puzzles, I do them on the recumbent bike. So that I sort of combine that with exercise.
That's pretty smug.
No, it's not smug. It's just that actually sitting and doing something feels weird.
Yeah. Like, even when you're doing mind puzzles, you need to also be working out.
It helps because the blood
flow. That makes sense. Sure. That makes sense.
Something about the blood flow helps. Or it's a paired stimuli kind of thing where you just have, it's habitual. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I like ice cream while I'm laying, chips while I'm sitting, paired stimuli.
Okay. Well, whatever
you'll
works.
Live longer.
No. I'll get hit by a bus or shot by somebody headed in my car. I mean, that's nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, look.
What? This guy does worry about a lot of things. He's shot going to his car. My God.
You don't think about that every day?
No, I don't.
Seriously?
I don't. I mean, I think about like having a heart attack, but I don't think about falling off a cliff or something.
Or just some random person walking up and capping you and you can't see him?
I don't think
as a result of you watching the movie Talk Radio with
never seen
Eric.
It.
You've never
I
seen it.
I probably shouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
No, not if you're already thinking right? of these things.
Well, so do you think you would be targeted in this way, or it would be random?
It could be either.
Could be either. Okay, I'm just curious where the death fantasy
is that really a fantasy
derives from.
It's just a low simmering level of concern.
Oh, man. A constant simmering level of concern, right?
What's the top death fear?
Just that it'll be too slow.
Too slow. So don't gut shot you. You want to be right at the temple.
No, if
you're going to do it, be a pro about it.
No, the fear is probably of living too long more than it is dying, because that's the worst. You get those last few years and you're like 93 and crapping yourself. You don't know who you are. And I mean, that's worse.
That sounds bad. Yeah. Agreed.
So that's
happy something fun to talk about.
Yes,
happy fourth.
Unbelievable. You guys, just look. I'm bad at relaxing. I tried to relax yesterday.
Clearly, I'm stressed.
And what bothers me is people say things like, "Isn't this relaxing?" And I'm like, "For you."
So why did you go?
Because it was nice. You know, they're friends. We have fun with them, and it
sounds like
it's just where other people get to a point where they can say, "Oh, I feel relaxed. That was relaxing," and it's completely foreign to me.
I couldn't even come remotely close to any level of satisfaction while just sitting visiting with your wife and another couple you enjoy.
If we were eating or drinking or, you know, out somewhere or taking, maybe it's just, I guess I can. I just don't know how to define it properly. Maybe I just don't exactly know what they mean by how they feel.
Have you ever considered medication?
What kind?
Some sort of downer.
I don't feel bad.
I mean, you think you're going to get shot walking back to your car from the boat. That's not good.
In his defense, the medication is not going to change that.
Right. That there's no you medication
more okay with
that.
That might be true. Might not change the likelihood, though.
I've just sort of assimilated that into normal.
Okay.
So like I say, it's not necessarily, I don't consider that feeling bad. It's just what you feel. If that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't, Dan. Okay, how do you not assimilate that with bad?
I declare this normal.
It doesn't seem bad.
It doesn't seem bad. A constant waking fear of death.
Well,
or bad things around every turn.
A constant waking fear of bad things is just human existence.
Okay.
as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean.
As far as I was brought up.
Yeah,
that if you're not worried about somehow everything going wrong, you're not paying attention, or you're deluding yourself on purpose.
I think most of us enjoy that. I think we're saying take
a half an hour out of your day and delude yourself.
Okay, I guess I would probably need, because everybody talks about like mindfulness and exercise and being present and being mindful.
I can't do that.
And if you're like, being present and mindful.
No, I don't like doing that.
That's an invitation to be terrified.
Right. I like disconnecting and not thinking about a damn thing. I like that. I don't need to be in my own head. There's too much stuff going on up there anyway.
I have so many follow-up questions, but I feel like it would just turn into therapy. Like, when you watch a movie or you listen to music, are you not zoning out? You're not thinking of anything negative then, right? You have the ability to zone out and detach yourself from reality.
I guess a little bit. But movies, I'm always trying to sort of figure things out and work the problem. And where is this going? And what is this a reference to? And where have I seen that actor before? So I've got that going on.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, I like good music, but I don't find it sort of, it doesn't transport you to a different astral plane where nothing else exists.
Okay. I mean, all right, I'll stop asking questions. No, I mean, because I'm just saying.
You don't even like music.
I don't know. I know. I was trying to relate to you. I'm just saying it would seem to me to be a little healthier to occasionally be able to turn that off. It doesn't mean that you are not mindful.
Well,
it doesn't mean
like,
that you are like unaware of the dangers or reality of the world.
Well, like Sunday, like last Sunday when I just decided to go fishing and walking around from pond to pond and driving everywhere. And I could finish that day and say, oh, well, that was good. But it wasn't sitting. It was constant motion.
Gotcha.
It was constantly doing and chasing and hunting the bluegills or whatever it was. But after all was said and done, you can say, oh, that was fun.
Sounds exhausting.
Oh, it's terribly terrible.
I was going to say, yeah. My God.
Yeah, the way he's describing fishing on these farm ponds or golf course ponds or the way I go up there in Canada to muskie hunt, there is absolutely nothing relaxing about that.
Oh, but Mac, would you dive into the pond for a bass like Bernstein did?
Would you do that? Get untangled.
Okay, like, get out of here. Cut the line.
It was hung up.
You don't cut the line!
You cut the line.
No, you don't!
Yes, you do. You cut the line. A regular person cuts the line.
No, that's bad for the fish. You're cutting the line with a hook in his mouth.
Fish out there.
All right, you don't cut the line. And no, but you're right. Muskie hunting is hard physical work.
So
it's draining.
That fish deserved to die because he ate your Mr. Twister.
You're dead.
And he went into the pad, so he deserved to die? No, Shane, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. The worst thing that happens is I get wet. So what?
Yeah,
you dry off.
Not all bad.
A little algae covered and who knows what else, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm telling you, you're muskie hunting. That's physical work.
Yeah.
It's mental work with no payoff half the time.
Most of the time. More often than not, there's little payoff. But it's so much fun to go chase fish that aren't there all day in the heat.
Are the fish here?
He
asked the guide.
Nope, no fish here.
No fish here. We're going to talk some baseball today, kids. We have Albert Almora joining us today, usually Tuesdays, but there was a game Tuesday. So he's coming on today, and Jason Stark also. We'll talk some baseball with us. And we're going to talk about the double steal and the difference between being a fan when your team does stuff like that and being practical.
Am I the only one who is conflicted watching that?
Head versus heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Objectively exciting. And he's 4-for-4 in his career.
Not bad, though.
And I believe wholeheartedly in instincts and being a good base runner and a great athlete, and he's done it in the playoffs before.
Mm-hmm.
So I know all of those things. But if Javi Baez does that in a playoff game and is out when there are no outs, he gets barbecued, and he deserves it.
It was bad. It was bad baseball. It was unbelievably exciting. That's why what Joe Sheehan put it, that Javi Baez is the nexus of baseball conflict. We ask the game to be played the right way, efficiently. There's certain things you should and shouldn't do based on win expectancy. And it's the right thing to do for your team. And we want players to be exciting, which means sometimes doing things that are wrong or bad.
Yeah.
And he does it on the bases and at the plate. He did it again at the plate yesterday, too, chasing a pitch that was nowhere close to being a strike. It bounced in, and it was off the plate to the right.
And unapologetically, too. He says, this is who I am. This is how I play.
Well, and they seem to enable that. Madden has talked about him trying to get him to not take as many reckless swings in the same at-bat as he used to, and maybe there has been some progress in that area, but you still see it on a fairly regular basis where he's up there hacking at anything. As soon as it's out of his pitcher's hand, he's taking a rip at it.
But I really don't want to take the fun out of Javi Baez. Like,
you won't. You can't.
How could you?
You can't.
Me remove it from him. I'm saying my own experience of what I don't want to be too analytical watching a natural talent like that, because he is objectively more fun than anyone else that you watch.
All right. Well, let's apply the Steph Curry test to him then. He's 4-for-4, right?
He's 4-for-4.
That changes things if you get enough of a sample size to say the rules don't apply to him.
Agreed.
Like Steph Curry, you don't teach people to take those shots. It's okay when he takes them because he's a unicorn.
Right. Well, one, the sample is 4 on Javi Baez, right, and on Steph Curry, it's much larger. And two, Dan, he should have been out at second, third, and home. He should have been out 3 times on his trip around the bases yesterday.
Yeah, Len Casper said he's invisible on the bases somehow. I remember we used to talk about Jordy Nelson having a cloaking device that against the Bears.
Just turn that thing on.
That he would turn it no matter what. they would say before, look, somebody cover Jordy Nelson. Okay, we got him. We know where he is. And then every time, there's no one within 10 yards of him anywhere. Like, again!
Right.
So we thought he had a way of making himself invisible. Maybe that's what Javier is doing.
I can't explain it. I know I love watching it. I know it's wildly exciting, but I also know that it's dumb. And if it backfires in a huge spot, I don't know that you can just point to, well, he was 4-for-4 before this, because we know process over results in baseball. And that is a fundamentally bad process.
You got to imagine. You got to imagine that at some
point. Contreras up against a bum. That's the other aspect right. too. You've got the hottest hitter on your team, arguably, against a bum.
He stole home with no outs. I mean, swag. Like the gall and the arrogance to believe that you could do that is admirable. Like, I would love to have it in my life in anything. It is just a remarkable amount of confidence.
Shoot your shots.
Seriously, that is the biggest shot ever.
At some point, and it's probably happened before already, he's gotten the Lou Brown conversation. Nice catch, Mays. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah.
Never again with no outs. That can't happen.
And you know what? He'll nod and he'll do it again.
Sure. 100%.
And they'll do the 20 push-ups at the plate, walk off.
Yeah. I don't think he's really a problem to solve at this point. But like you say, it's on us. It's on us, that those of us who want to view the game the right way, want to criticize the game the right way, he breaks everything.
Yeah. And I honestly am cool with that. The only part where I get conflicted is that I still have the rooting interest. I don't want Javi Baez to do that for the Cubs in a World Series game and have it hurt them.
Isn't this sort of like the Devin Hester or Tariq Cohen run the wrong way for 20 yards and then return it for a
That's
touchdown?
That's exactly what it is.
And when we saw Tariq Cohen do it, several of us on Twitter,
taking the fun out of football, we're saying like, oh, God, now he's going to think that's okay.
But most times you still get the ball back after that. Like, your offense then walks out and has a chance to go score. In this case, you've now wasted a prime scoring opportunity and now have one out and a double play to hit into.
Right, it's not a one-to-one.
No, totally not. Yeah, but I'm just saying
same concept.
The hope that gets ripped away here is a little bit worse.
There have been a lot of stretches this year where the Cubs need to be more aggressive on the bases. Not lately, though. So, I mean, the way they've been hitting lately, there's no reason to push the issue with the opposition, but that wasn't the case yesterday, and that's what everybody is buzzing about around the water cooler today.
The other irony is that Javier Baez is not a dumb baseball player.
Not at all.
Like, you've seen exciting guys who are just doing whatever they do. I remember young Carlos Gomez had some of that in him, too. He had some other guys on one yesterday, wasn't he?
Furious.
Wow. But that's the thing, is that Baez is a smart, instinctive player, yet those instincts don't override stuff like what he did yesterday, which was dumb and awesome.
Dumb and awesome. Yeah.
Right?
Put that on the t-shirt.
It's firmly where I am with it, and I don't know. I normally am just fun. Just have fun. It's sports. It's entertainment. But God, that's a bad baseball play. He should have been out three times. Three times. He should have been out at every base.
Are you broadening this to other dumb, awesome things in sports?
We should. That could be the show. That could be the show today. Or the slogan just for our show.
Dumb and awesome?
Yeah, dumb and awesome.
Hey, lean into it. Go
That's
ahead.
Exactly right. So, yeah, right, we're good. Doing that. It'll be
okay.
Fun.
What else do we need to know?
Oh, we decided to add Can't Do It to today because it just felt like we should. And so we're going to play Can't Do It today at 4 since we were off on Wednesday and we feel like we should. So we're going to play Can't Do It today at 4 o'clock.
Fair enough. And
yeah.
Albert Almora will be on
at 2
momentarily.
O'clock, Brent Musburger at 3, Jason Stark at 3:40. Jason Stark spent an hour with Joe Maddon. Yeah. So,
saw that.
So, yeah, that should be pretty good. And our normal ridiculousness the rest of the way.
Enjoy it. Outstanding. Transition brought to you by Northwestern Football. Wildcats coming off a 10-win season. Host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single-game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. McNeil and Parkins straight ahead on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.